Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up today, we're going to listen to that interview that seems to have changed a lot of the public's understanding about the Trump-Ukraine scandal. We're going to listen to a part of the Lev Parnas interview that aired last night on MSNBC. Then we'll open up the phone lines. First, two listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we heard some excerpts from the Democratic debate in Iowa on Tuesday night, and we played those excerpts yesterday and had listeners comment. After the show, here's two listener comments that came in.
John from Lutz. Say, I wanted to let you know that I'm voting for Trump in the upcoming election. I've got 12 good solid reasons why, and I'd like to share those with your listeners. Trump is a strong man. He's got guts. He's not wimpy like the others. So we'll start at number one. He's strong. He's a strong man because he was strong enough to evade the draft. He knew how to be a draft dodger. He knew how to say he had bone spurs so that he didn't have to go off to war and get shot down and be taken a prisoner like that wimp John McCain. Number two, he's a strong man because he knows how to evade taxes. You know, his dad taught him early how to create false corporations in his kid's name to hide money from being taxed by the government. Number three, he's strong enough to say that he supports racism and white supremacists and the neo-Nazis because he knows that America was founded by white supremacists and this is a white supremacist nation. Number four, he got Mexico to pay for that wall. Number five, he's a strong man because he's not afraid to get foreign powers involved in meddling with our elections. He asked Russia to get Hillary's emails. He's even been strong enough to bribe the Ukraine into by withholding aid and asking them to investigate his political rival. Yeah, he's been impeached for that, but, you know, it's a witch hunt. And number six, he's not afraid to be a strong man and separate families. He's putting those wimpy kids in cages where they belong. Number seven, he's not afraid to shut down that wimpy EPA. We need to maximize corporate profit by reducing any kind of regulations that protect our air, water, and soil. Who needs safe water, air, and soil? We need maximum profits. Eight, he's not afraid to pull money out of public education and put it into church-based private schools, vouchers, because we all know that 3,000 years ago, we humans were living with dinosaurs. That's a common fact. Number nine, he's not afraid to tell 15,431 alternate facts. Number 10, he's strong enough to obstruct justice. He knows that subpoenas don't apply to him, and he's ordered his whole administration to violate those subpoenas. Number 11, he's strong enough to sell our troops to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, he's renting our troops to Saudi Arabia because, you know, his grandpa taught him how to be to prostitute. He's prostituting our U.S. troops to Saudi Arabia.
This is Ron from West Tampa, and I just wanted to respond to our good friend Chuck, who called in with the statement. He expressed quite confidently that, I believe I'm quoting him verbatim, when he said, all Democrats are liars. Well, Chuck, here's a little newsflash for you. Donald Trump promised that when elected president, he would show us his taxes. To this day, he has not done that. Okay, that makes him a liar, in my opinion. Back in the day, George W. Bush, another Republican, he swore up and down that, in so many words, we know where the weapons are. To this day, we haven't seen those weapons. So that makes him a liar, too. That's two Republicans who've lied.
Some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Well, there was some big news last night because of an interview that a Russian emigre did on MSNBC, and we're going to talk about that today. Reading from the Associated Press, a close associate, President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, is claiming that Trump was directly involved in the effort to pressure Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden. The man is Lev Parnas. Parnas says he delivered an ultimatum in May at Giuliani's behest to the incoming president of Ukraine that no senior U.S. officials would attend his inauguration and vital American security aid would be withheld if an investigation into Biden was not announced. Parnas said Trump was aware of Giuliani's efforts to secure an investigation and the president was regularly briefed. If true, Parnas's account undercuts a key Republican defense of President Trump during the impeachment investigation that Trump's withholding of vital military aid to Ukraine last summer was not a quid pro quo for a Biden investigation. Parnas made several potentially explosive claims in a televised interview last night with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. The day after Parnas said he delivered the message, the State Department announced that Vice President Mike Pence would no longer be attending the inauguration of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Parnas alleged that Trump ordered Pence to stay away at the behest of Giuliani to send a clear message to the incoming Ukrainian administration that they needed to take seriously the demand for an investigation into Biden, a Democratic presidential candidate seen as a potential threat to Trump's 2020 re-election. We're going to listen to parts of that Parnas interview right now on 88.5 FM, and I want to see what you make of this interview. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's listen back to a part of what Parnas said last night to Rachel Maddow. This is where Parnas says that President Trump knew exactly what was going on. Let's listen to Lev Parnas from last night on MSNBC.
What do you think is the main inaccuracy or the main lie that's being told that you feel like you can correct?
That the president didn't know what was going on. President Trump knew exactly what was going on. He was aware of all of my movements. I wouldn't do anything without the consent of Rudy Giuliani or the president. I have no intent, I have no reason to speak to any of these officials. I mean, they have no reason to speak to me. Why would President Zelensky's inner circle or Minister Avakov or all these people or President Poroshenko meet with me? Who am I? Mm-hmm. They were told to meet with me, and that's the secret that they're trying to keep. I was on the ground doing their work.
In terms of the president and what he has said about you, he said about you and Mr. Fruman, Igor Fruman, I don't know those gentlemen, I don't know about them, I don't know what they do. You're saying that was not a true statement from the president?
He lied. I mean, we're not friends. I mean, when you say friends, I mean, me and him didn't watch football games together. We didn't eat hot dogs. But he knew exactly who we were. He knew exactly who I was, especially because I interacted with him at a lot of events. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of one-on-one conversations with him at gatherings where they would have special, like these round tables where there would be only six people at a table. We've had several of those. And basically, I mean, I was with Rudy more than, 4 or 5 days out of the week. I mean, and I was in constant contact with him. So, and I was with Rudy when he would speak to the president plenty of times. I mean, so it's just ludicrous.
You've been with Mr. Giuliani when he was on the phone with the president?
Absolutely.
And how would you know that he was on the phone with the president? Would it be on speakerphone or you
well,
could just hear
it? Several times it would be on speakerphone where he would like start the conversation on speakerphone and then take it off and then go somewhere sideways, you know, to talk to him. But a lot of times it would be on the golf course when we would golfing together, especially I remember during the Mueller times where Rudy, I remember, said something that he didn't appreciate or was taken out of context and he was screaming at him so loud. That's why when I watched the impeachment and I saw the testimony about the Sutherland, that I reiterated, I could understand that you could hear President Trump talking next to, like I heard him several times when he was with Rudy.
Because he speaks loudly on the phone.
Very loudly, yeah.
When you say that the president knew about your movements and knew what you were doing, are you saying specifically, and I want to sort of drill down on that, that the president was aware that you and Mr. Giuliani were working on this effort in Ukraine to basically try to hurt Joe Biden's political career. He knew basically about that.
Yeah, it was all about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and also Rudy had a personal thing with the Manafort stuff, the Black Ledger. Mm-hmm. And that was another thing that they were looking into, but it was never about corruption. It was strictly about the Burisma, which included Hunter Biden and Joe Biden.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube.
All right, well, thanks, Chris. I am taking this from the MSNBC website. So this is the interview that Rachel Maddow did with Lev Parnas last night that has caused so much consternation for Republicans and caused Democrats to say this guy should be brought in as a witness at the impeachment trial next week. And what's your take on this so far? Phone number 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. We're going to hear more of the Parnas interview with Rachel Maddow in just a moment. Let's go to John in Port Richey. Hey, John, you're on MNF. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. Personally, I do not think this will change any of the Trump supporters' minds. I would bet that Trump could come out on recording saying that it is a quid pro quo to withhold the aid until he gets a investigation into the Bidens, and that still would not change some of the supporters' minds. They would say that he's just doing what he thinks best to get to the bottom of a criminal activity. So I don't think none of this is going to change their minds. And then going back to what I just heard on the headline news, that Trump violated the law by withholding the aid, according to the U.S. Government Accountability Office. They're not going to care about that, and I don't even think they'll hear about that on the conservative media. And going back to the economy, a caller last week mentioned that it was such a great economy under Trump, and they made a comment that stuck with me about how Obama hurt the economy by passing the Affordable Care Act. And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, well, the part in the Affordable Care Act was the part that said that if you have a full-time employee 30 hours or more, you have to give them health care or pay a penalty. So a lot of companies cut back hours. And I'm thinking, that has not been overturned. That's still in effect today. So if that really was one of the reasons why the economy went south, why is that not the reason the economy is going south now? The economy is going like gangbusters, according to that person. I agree, the economy is doing well, but that's still in effect. So to me, that leads me to the logical conclusion that that part of the law really doesn't hurt the economy. Just a thought there, Rob.
All right, John, on the Parnas thing, I think you're way too cynical, but thanks a lot for calling. Thank you. That's John, who doesn't think that the Parnas interview will have any impact. I don't know if I'm really interested right now in the impact it's going to have on members of Congress, because I think, by and large, the members of Congress are divided. And in order to be a member of Congress right now and be a Republican, you have to support the president. You cannot buck the president. That's the way districts are drawn. That's just the nature of the party right now. But I'm more curious as to how this interview is going to impact the broader public. Now that you've got somebody who corroborates a lot of what was said during the testimony, during the impeachment hearings in the U.S. House, and you've got a guy who was the middleman between the Trump candidacy, the Trump presidency, and Ukraine. He was a middleman, and he's coming out and saying this. We're going to hear some more of this interview right now. I want to get your take. Do you agree with John that it's not going to have any impact? Or do you think that this is a big moment out there? 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. We're going to hear more of this interview that aired last night on MSNBC. And again, this is a close associate of President Trump. A close associate of his personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, claiming that Trump was directly involved in the effort to pressure Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden, and it was not about any investigation into corruption. Let's listen to more of what Lev Parnas said to Rachel Maddow last night. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM.
Do you know Congressman Devin Nunes?
Yes, I do.
What's been your relationship with him?
We don't have too much of a relationship. We met several times at the Trump Hotel, but our relationship started getting basically where it expanded was when I was introduced to his aide, Derek Harvey. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Derek Harvey was more of, I was told at that time, is because Devin Nunes just had an ethics, something to do with the next ethics committee, and he couldn't be in the spotlight. He was kind of shunned a little bit. And that Dave was looking into this Ukraine stuff also, wanted to help out. And Devin Nunes, they gave me Derek Harvey to deal with.
You told Mr. Harvey what you and Mr. Giuliani were working on in Ukraine, trying to get Ukraine to announce these investigations.
He was aware of that already. He knew everything.
He already knew that by the time he talked to you.
He had a lot of information already.
Do you believe he'd gotten that information from Mr. Giuliani?
No. There was other people doing like this op research or whatever, however,
local
I don't know what you call it, but it was coming from different sides. Yeah.
Given that interaction that you just described with Congressman Nunes and his aide, Mr. Harvey, does it strike you as unusual or inappropriate that Devin Nunes would be one of the lead investigators into this scandal on the House Intelligence Committee? He's obviously the top Republican on that committee.
I was in shock when I was watching the hearings and when I saw Devin Nunes sitting up there, and then there was a picture where Derek Harvey was in back over there sitting. I texted my attorney. I said, I can't believe this is happening.
Because?
Well, because they were involved in getting all this stuff from Biden. I mean, Derek Harvey had several interviews, Skype interviews that I set up with different prosecutors like Nazar Holoditsky, which is the anti-corruption prosecutor of Ukraine, Konstantin Kulik, who's one of the major guys that said had this whole Biden stuff. So. It's hard to see them lie like that when you know it's like that. It's scary because, you know, he was sitting there and making all these statements and all that when he knew very well that he knew what was going on. He knew what's happening. He knows who I am.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC.
Chris Hayes keeps popping up. Well, that's Lev Parnas, who was a go-between between the Trump, I don't know if we should say Trump campaign or Trump presidency, and Ukraine. And he was there to help pressure Ukraine to investigate Democratic rival Joe Biden. He gave an interview last night to MSNBC. And there he's saying that Devin Nunes was involved in back-channel communications between Ukraine and himself. Nunes, during all the conversations leading up to this, has never acknowledged his relationship with Parnas. And I think that that's what's significant. Yet he went up there and was a member of the Republican House Intelligence Committee. He was a member of the House Intelligence Committee, the leading Republican on that committee, and pretended to not be involved in this. And he was involved, at least according to Parnas. Now, certainly Parnas's testimony, if it happens, has to be double-checked and fact-checked. But we'll see where it goes. We're going to open up the phone lines again for a few minutes and take your phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Sid in Tampa. Hey, Sid, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Yeah, Rachel's interview with the fellow last night. One kind of amusing thing there, remember he was talking about some guy who was sending him texts saying he had surveillance data on the ambassador, you know, and the fellow being interviewed, well, that guy was just drunk all the time. That was kind of fun. But you may recall they say a lot of these folks would meet at the Trump Hotel. But to the point you raised, Rob, I think the Democrats need to do everything they can do to get the documents in, the witnesses in, and if the Republicans stonewall that, I agree with you. I don't think the Republicans are going to vote to convict Trump. But the more overwhelming evidence there is, it'll be so obvious to voters how this is a sham that they're not willing to look at the evidence. And interestingly, they have to take a separate oath before they serve as jurors, and that oath says they have to be impartial.
That's true. They do. Yeah. And now Nunes is not part of the Senate, so he's in the House. So, but if he's already deeply involved in trying to gin up this phony investigation into Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, his reputation is in tatters right now because he didn't reveal his role in this.
Well, I wasn't speaking specifically with regard to Nunes, if that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, yeah, I was.
I'm just speaking it in general. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you were saying that the senators had to take an oath to their impartiality. So you're making the point that... Sid, did we lose you? All right, I guess we lost Sid. Okay, Sid, thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, what do you think this Parnas interview does to the discussion about President Trump and Ukraine?
I think that it's also going to be, I mean, I hate to be skeptical, but I think that it's going to be spun in a way where, you know, it'll be like, well, he didn't know these guys, or they're going to come up with something. That's going to obfuscate, you know.
They're certainly going to try to attack his reputation, and whether or not those attacks are true will be interesting.
And then, you know, what I'm wondering, when all these things happen so fast and there's so much for people to digest, what about something that I read today, Rob? I don't know if you've mentioned it. I apologize. The GAO report. And I'm saying I know that
it was on the NPR news, and then you're talking about the report that came out this morning.
It said that basically the Trump administration broke the law.
Yeah, I just read the first two lines of the story, and this came out just this morning. NPR reported it, and our first caller, John, mentioned it too. The White House violated federal law in withholding security assistance to Ukraine, an action at the center of President Trump's impeachment. This is according to a federal watchdog agency, it said today. The Office of Government Accountability said in a report that the Office of Management and Budget, which is directly under Trump, violated the law in holding up the aid. So that report came out just this morning.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, you know, for example, did you read what Rand Paul was saying, how he's trying to warn all the Republican senators that if they, you know, allow witnesses, that it's going to cost them in the election? And I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't think Rand Paul is sort of a fraud, in my opinion, anyways. I don't think he would have got an office without his dad's name tattooed. I mean, you know, that's my take on him. But I also don't like the fact that he tries to stand up and be a champion of things like, you know, he's against the war and he gets people on his side, and then he goes ahead and admits that he's a toady for Trump like this. But hey, as far as the Parnas thing, let's just hope that maybe it can break through this cycle where no matter what seems to come up, they always find something to get the people's attention diverted. And that's what I'm wondering, you know, if there's any way that something else is going to come up and they're going to make people forget about Les Parnas by tomorrow.
All right. Well, Kevin, thanks a lot. Thank you for your call. You know, I think people should watch this interview for themselves. I won't be able to play the whole thing. I'm going to play a few more segments of this interview that Rachel Maddow did last night, but you can watch the whole thing. Go to the MSNBC website. It's there. It's easy to see because there's free access to that website. This is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Steve in Tampa, who says it won't make a difference. Hey, Steve, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, I don't think it's going to make a lot of difference. I think they'll just yell fake news, it's fake news. You know, they doesn't know what he's talking about, and this, you know, and it'll be the same old story. And to be honest with you, even if the American people are convinced, the Electoral College can just put this clown in again. So I don't really know what's going to change. I'm sorry to be so cynical.
Okay, Steve, thanks a lot. Lots of cynics calling today. 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. I think the other interesting thing about Parnas is that he was deeply involved in other Republican campaigns. He's not just a guy who just on the sidelines. He was involved in the Governor DeSantis campaign for election. He was involved certainly in the Trump campaign for election. He gave money to other Republican figures here in Florida, including Governor Rick Scott for his Senate campaign, to Matt Gaetz, the congressman from the Panhandle, gave money to his campaign. So this guy is interesting. He's not a fringe figure because he's been deeply involved in these campaigns. What does it mean? We'll find out. As his credibility is tested, certainly his credibility is going to be attacked. We'll see if he's up, and we'll see if he's got documents that prove what he says. Do his cell phone records match up? Do his hotel records match up? Are the phone numbers on his cell phone, do they go back to the White House? Do they go back to Rudy Giuliani? 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And let's go to Mike. Mike, where are you?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning to you. Where are you, Mike?
I am in Bradenton, Florida.
All right, great. Thanks for calling.
I have a different opinion from your last caller. I think this will make a big difference to the public. And I think the big impact of Lev Parnas coming through is to show a connection that's been hinted at but has not really been explored well. And that is the involvement of Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman is attached to this Russian mobster, Dmitry Firtash, who is trying to get out of extradition problems and is living in Vienna. He's a Russian, essentially, I think, a Russian or Ukrainian mobster. And he's the one who hired Parnas and to start work in the U.S. and to go to Giuliani and to tell Giuliani that, hey, we have dirt on Joe Biden if you will clear up our problems with the prosecutors and the ambassador here in Ukraine. And so I think that this whole affair is going to bring that all out and tie the whole plot together. All this, you know, one possible narrative on this is that this is all about, you know, some mobster trying to get out of trying to avoid going to jail and offering this story to Trump and Giuliani about having dirt on Biden so that they would engineer a change in the prosecutor.
Well, I think you're right. I think Firtash is in the background, but he is the money guy, at least according to most news reports that I've read. So, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts.
Thank you.
Come on. All right. He apparently has control of lots of money, and we're just asking whether or not the Parnas interview will make a difference, and what do you make of it? What do you think of Parnas' credibility, and what ought to happen next? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks, Rob. I disagree with my friend Steve. I think that I agree with the last caller. It should have an impact, and of course Trump is going to call him a liar. And all these guys are going to say, you know, like he says, I agree with you. He says, like, fake news. That's not true. He's a liar. He's looking for a lighter sentence. He's going to jail. But I'll tell you what, last night I saw the interview, and I believe Parnas that when he says that Trump is a liar, that Trump knew. And I believe that Giuliani knew, and Devin Nunes. And all these guys, the truth is all coming out now. But I hope they would, be, you know, talk about this in the upcoming trial. But I believe it won't make a difference whatsoever to those guys. They're hell bent on acquitting him, and it doesn't matter to them at all. So that's what I think. Real quickly, Rob, I want your opinion about. Did you hear the audio between Bernie and Elizabeth Warren?
I did.
Yeah. What did you think about that?
I think they're trying to blow that up into something and try mm-hmm. to make Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders battle each other, because I think, as Matt Taibbi said the other day on alternative radio, they like that kind of conflict, especially conflict within the parties. They need some intra-democratic party fighting, and that's what the media likes. It's not a big issue. I mean, you know, we don't have an independent witness that tells us what happened at that dinner between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. And we'll never get to the bottom of it unless Elizabeth has proof or Bernie has proof of their position. And it's kind of a pointless, I think, argument, because I think either one is misconstruing what the other said. And yeah. I don't really think that Bernie is anti-woman. Now, I could be wrong. But I think you'd have to be pretty anti-woman to say that, and it doesn't pass the smell test. But I don't, you know, I don't know, and arguing about it endlessly, we'll never get to the bottom of it. In the case of Parnas, you've got cell phone records, you've got travel records, you've got maybe he has notes. We don't know. We don't know what kind of evidence he has. But you know, you can get closer to the bottom, because there's a whole mound of evidence behind things like that. If you start arguing about Bernie and Elizabeth, it goes nowhere.
She made a beeline right to him, though. She saw that. She went straight to him, and she was angry.
She thought that she was right, and I'm sure she thought she was right. I'm sure Bernie thought he was right. They both misheard the conversation, and
Does it help Biden more?
It helps the Republicans.
Oh, no.
The more they play that on CNN and the more they play that on MSNBC and Fox, it helps the Republicans.
Do you think that Sanders and one other person spending time on the show and not being able to campaign will help Biden?
No, I let's see where Iowa goes, but I don't think Biden in the long run is going to make it. That's my take.
Right. Okay, Rob. Thank you.
All right, Danny. Thanks a lot. The mainstream media loves that fight. I don't think it's as important as health care, as bribing international governments, as climate change, war and peace issues. Those are the issues we ought to be thinking about, not what happened at a dinner party 2 years ago. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Hey, Fran, you're on MNF. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thanks, Rob. I just want to, I kind of agree with what Danny just said. I'm glad he brought that up. And watching The View, too, those ladies, they sooner or later, they come down on Bernie. They don't like Bernie. And you have to realize that on The View, anyways, they have corporate sponsors. And corporate people like insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies are scared to death of Bernie and his message about Medicare for all and doing away with the private insurance companies. So it's a war against Bernie. And I like Elizabeth Warren, too, her stance on the banks and everything. It's just a divide and conquer type thing, and we've got to be aware of it and stop doing it. Meantime, all this money keeps going into defense spending and things like that, and the corporate people keep getting richer, and we're just going to be stuck in the same place. So basically, that's what I wanted to say.
All right, Fran, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. Let's listen more to Lev Parnas interview last night from MSNBC. This goes to the point, how many people involved in the Trump administration knew about reaching out to Ukraine and trying to get them to investigate Hunter Biden and Joe Biden? How many people in the administration actually knew? And this question came up last night. Let's listen more to Rachel Maddow's interview with Lev Parnas.
So after certain instances, President Trump was supposed to meet Zelensky in Poland himself. But then he used the excuse of the hurricane, but it wasn't because of the hurricane. It was because he was angry that Zelensky still didn't make any attempt or effort to make any announcement before he was going to meet him.
And how do you know that was an excuse and that wasn't the real reason?
Because I spoke to Rudy. Rudy would talk to me. We spoke about this every day. I mean, everything that was going on was discussed between me, Victoria, Rudy, I mean, the team.
Okay. So President Trump is supposed to go. He decides not to go. Vice President Pence will go instead.
He sends him instead, yeah. And basically, he was supposed to go there and get it straightened out that Zelensky was supposed to make another announcement. And that didn't happen. And that's when Secretary Bolton went over there, and I think he has a lot to say. I'm not going to talk on this, but I think he's a key witness to his conversation with Zelensky when he came back and why he left or got fired or however you want to look at that.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. When Vice President Pence went over there on September 1st, again, in President Trump's stead, you believe, or you have reason to believe, that Vice President Pence was tasked at that meeting with getting President Zelensky to announce investigations of Joe Biden specifically.
Yes.
And to tell him that they wouldn't get their aid until they...
I don't know exactly what he was... but it was all... It's all the same
thing. Yeah.
So, like I said, the aid itself was something that I think the president decided to do, but it was, I think, a reaction to that there was no announcement being made after so many attempts and so many promises.
So holding the aid was the president's own sort of innovation to add to the leverage, to the pressure that people like you and the vice president and Mr. Giuliani and everybody else involved in this effort was putting on the Ukrainian government.
Correct.
When you say that Mr. Bolton may have things to say about this. Did Mr. Bolton know that Vice President Pence was supposed to secure that agreement from Zelensky, that he'd announced these investigations?
I don't know exactly what Mr. Bolton knew, but I know Mr. Bolton was definitely involved in the loop because of the firing of Maria Yovanovitch. Also, his interactions with Rudy Giuliani, they started butting heads. He was not agreeing. It was, from Venezuela to Ukraine, Bolton didn't agree with Giuliani on the way of dealing with it. So there was tension there. There was definitely tension.
But you believe he knows what the administration was pressuring Ukraine to do?
Bolton, 100%. He knows what happened there.
Hey there.
All right, so that's more of the Lev Parnas interview from MSNBC last night. Again, Lev Parnas was a go-between between the White House, the Trump White House, and Ukraine in part of that effort, allegedly, to pressure Ukraine to conduct a phony investigation into Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Some of the emails that have come in, lots of emails have come in. Let's see if I can read one. Let's see if we can get one that's... James writes this: for the life of me, I cannot see how 30 to 35% of this country can worship Trump. He is a liar, a con man, a racist, just pure evil, unless most of them are the same, writes James. And then Lou in Plant City said, don't you know the GAO is just part of the deep state? Truth doesn't matter, thanks, writes Lou in Plant City. All right. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And let's go to Tim in Tampa, who's been holding the longest. Tim, you're on. What do you make of the Parnas interview?
I think it should make a major difference to the majority of the population here in America. You're always going to have that 20% people, the Trumpers or whoever. They just, like you say, racist, bigots, or uninformed. But I think it should. I think the reason I called, though, is Mitch McConnell is involved with this also. Somewhere, you got a lot of Russians hanging around Mitch McConnell and his state.
Yeah, but we don't know that from the Parnas interview. I mean, suspicion, right?
That's true. But when Nunes, the way Nunes acted when he was on the House Intelligence Committee, the way Mitch McConnell is acting, is something else is going on with these guys for them to be beholden to Trump. They got to be involved. I knew Nunes was. I just didn't know the connection. Way he went running to the White House with that information and blah, 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 in the middle of the night and blah, blah, blah. I knew he was involved somehow. Now I think Mitch McConnell is also. I could respect these guys. If they wasn't involved, all of them should be walking into the White House and saying, Trump, put your paperwork in because we're going getting you out of here. They're all involved. Somewhere, somehow.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. All right, we're getting the views of lots of people here on 88.5 FM. Let's go to Rita, who's in Wesley Chapel. Hi, Rita, you're on WMNF.
So I just had a quick comment and a question. My comment is, it's not going to matter because most people already do agree that that is what happened, but they don't get why it matters. The people that I talked to, it's like, well, you know, so what, big deal? It's an election. They all cheat. So I don't think it matters how much evidence.
So Rita, the report this morning that the White House actually violated federal law by withholding the military aid to Ukraine. This is a GAO report, said that the Office of Management and Budget violated federal law in holding up the aid. So if you've got a violation of federal law, you don't think that matters?
I don't think it does. I think they'll come up with something that Obama did that violated a federal law.
We don't have a GAO report that says that Obama violated federal law. I mean, I don't know if there's any ongoing investigation. I kind of doubt that there is at this point. So you've got the Trump administration violating federal law, and yet you don't think anybody, it doesn't matter?
Maybe a few will finally realize what's going on. But most of them, that does not matter. And my question is, isn't there something about soliciting assistance from foreign governments in an election? Isn't that illegal?
Yeah, it is.
Why isn't that? Could have been one of the impeachment articles, couldn't it?
Well, I don't know if there may be other investigations ongoing now that you've got more evidence or alleged evidence from Parnas. Rita, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Okay, so there's a lot of cynical people here that say that the Parnas interview doesn't matter. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. We heard about the vice president's involvement. Let's listen to more of the Lev Parnas interview from last night on MSNBC.
Let me ask, the text messages that he sends to you about Ambassador Yovanovitch are disturbing.
Very.
What is the context of these text exchanges? He appears to be giving you very specific information about the ambassador's movements, about her location, about her security situation, calls her the B word over and over again, very hostile to her, and seems to be monitoring her whereabouts. Why did those exchanges happen? What was he trying to tell you?
Well, I don't believe it's true. I think he was either drunk or he's was trying to make himself bigger than it was. So I didn't take it seriously, and I was trying to, if you see, I didn't even respond to him most of the time, and if I did, it was like something like LOL or okay or great or something like that, because I wouldn't respond for a long time, and then I didn't want him to get rowdy if I saw him next time and say, oh, why didn't you type a response? I would just amuse him until eventually, as you could see, I cut him off. Because what happened is when he sent me those, I got disturbed. I was like, oh, well, this is crazy. Like, is this guy off the wall? So I called up, I think it was Joe Ahern, who was my contact at the Super PAC America First, that knew of him also because he knew all the donors. And I asked him, because I said, was this guy off the loonies? And he told me that stay away from him because he's just got into something with, I think, Greg Pence, Mike Pence's brother, and thinking that the Secret Service is after him and somebody wants to kill him. And I don't know exactly what happened, but that was my end of, once he started texting me that was our end of our relationship.
Well, the texts where he was supposedly reporting on the whereabouts of the ambassador went on for a week. I mean, it wasn't like one drunk night.
Correct.
This went for 7 days. Well, he couldn't have been drunk the whole time.
No, he's drunk all the whole time. he wakes up and he's drunk. He starts at 6, and I've never seen him not drunk.
So you thought that this was him making it up? You didn't believe he actually had the ambassador under surveillance?
No, absolutely.
All right, so that is Lev Parnas talking about a Republican aide named Robert Hyde, a Republican activist who apparently claimed, and you heard what Parnas said about his credibility, apparently claimed that he was surveilling Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, who was one of the people who testified at the House impeachment hearings a few weeks ago. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM, and we're going to hear some more of that interview last night with Parnas. We're going to hear the part where he talked about U.S. Attorney General William Barr. Here is the go-between between the Trump administration and Rudy Giuliani and Ukraine, Lev Parnas, last night in this what could be an historic interview with MSNBC.
Did you ever meet with or speak with or have any interactions with Attorney General William Barr?
I personally did not speak to him, but I was involved in lots of conversations that Joe DiGenova had with him in front of me, Rudy had with him in front of me, and setting up meetings with Dmitry Firtash's team. I was involved in that.
Do you know if Mr. Giuliani was ever in contact with Mr. Barr specifically about the fact that he was trying to get Ukraine to announce these investigations into Joe Biden?
Oh, absolutely.
Mr. Barr knew about that?
Mr. Barr had to have known everything. I mean, it's impossible.
Did Rudy Giuliani tell you he'd spoken to the Attorney General specifically about Ukraine?
Not only Rudy Giuliani. I mean, Victoria and Joe, they were all best friends. I mean, Attorney General Barr was basically on the team.
When President Trump and President Zelensky spoke in July, we know from the White House notes of the call that President Trump told Mr. Zelensky that he should contact William Barr about these investigations that he wanted him to do, including into Joe Biden.
Correct.
That struck a lot of people as strange. Attorney General Barr was purportedly upset and didn't know why he would have been mentioned in this context, but it sounds like it makes sense to you that...
Absolutely. Because we knew about the Durham investigation, and that was going to be part of, I mean, that Attorney General Barr wanted to get to the bottom of the Biden stuff and everything like that. I think he might have got upset that Trump talked about the president, ousted him, maybe, that he didn't want to be in the public light like he was doing it, but it was known internally that he was investigating the investigators.
Do you know if Attorney General William Barr ever spoke with any Ukrainian officials?
I don't recall at this moment. I'd have to look at my text messages and see.
Contacted the Justice Department for comment on Mr. Parnas' remarks tonight. Spokeswoman Carrie Kupek at the Justice Department did give us a response. It is a two-word response. I guess it's technically one number and one word. She told us, quote, 100% false. And we could attribute that to her. We appreciate the comment. Hey there.
All right, so that was a part of Rachel Maddow's show last night, her interview with Lev Parnas, tying Attorney General William Barr to the team that was pressuring Ukraine on whether or not to conduct an investigation into Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, an investigation that was not based on corruption, but at least according to what's being reported here, was not based on corruption, but was based on politics. Let's take some more phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to John in Wesley Chapel. John, you're on. What do you think of the Parnas interview?
Hi, Rob. Yeah, I listened to it, and the main thing that occurs to me is it seems like for the most major time, Mike Pence seems to be getting drawn into the net. And my question is this: if they decided to get rid of Trump, would Pence being involved in this preclude him succeeding him?
Well, not right now, but let's say that the House decided to open up a new investigation on other possible articles of impeachment and wanted to look at the vice president's role in this. Conceivably, if they had enough evidence, they might vote articles of impeachment against Pence, but that, you know, that would take a long time.
And then, of course, Nancy would become president.
That's right. That's right.
That was
the Speaker of the House is third in line. All right, John. Thanks a lot. Thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to John in Palmetto. John, what did you think of the Parnas interview?
I think it's great. I think that every time one of these thunderclouds come over and drop all the rain, that a few more come to the other side. Not enough. I'm sure that with the GOP, there's a lot of them that I believe Trump could shoot a family of four with videos and witnesses, and I don't think that they would let that into the trial. So, you know, they're going to have to live with that. I would suggest that Parnas and his buddy stay away from windows, you know, it's too dangerous. I think that if Giuliani has said and Trump has said, both together confirming each other that Giuliani is his lawyer and Giuliani has said he works for him, I think Trump's only way out, because I hear there are documents. He's got documents to help to back up what he says. You know, he will claim that Rudy has gone rogue. And then I guess Rudy would really could be then charged with treason of hijacking the country, you know, trying, if he goes, and that's going to break Rudy. Rudy's going to pop. I think that Rudy's probably looking in a mirror of a restroom somewhere, sweating and wondering what's going on here. I'd like to quickly say I agree with you on the Sanders-Warren thing. I think that Sanders, at her disgust one time, might have said to her, you know, like your mom will never get a job because she was when I was growing up, you know, that she couldn't be elected, not meaning that he was against women. And Warren, sometimes I love them both, pull a few things, you know, she's fighting for the first place. So she might have said that. So I think I agree with you. I think that they just really sort of are misrepresenting what each other said. That's all.
All right, John, so thanks a lot. All right, great to hear from you. Peter writes this: how wonderful that Parnas has spilled the beans on the Trump criminals. Of course, the Republicans will say he is a criminal and not to be believed. However, it's obvious he is trying to save his own skin. The whole Trump affair and the presidency stinks, writes Peter. David writes, I was surprised to see Parnas on CNN last night. I thought he was still in jail and the flight risk, but perhaps they can keep him from running off and being a fugitive. Anyway, I'm glad that Parnas spoke out against Trump. I would like to see Parnas speak out about his dirty deals with DeSantis. Yeah, Parnas made campaign contributions to our governor, Ron DeSantis. By the way, the interviews I've been playing come from MSNBC, and you can see them on the MSNBC website. The entire party, writes Elio, the entire party has been linked to the Russians. They know they can't win without Russian assistance, so they've all sold the country, writes Elio. Trump supporters are not a majority. Full fair hearings will have an impact on independent and low information voters, writes Elio. And Doug in Clearwater said, I tuned in the middle of your caller from yesterday with the list of Trump facts. Did he mention that Trump said he would release his taxes after being elected, but now has appealed to the Supreme Court so he doesn't have to? Not only a liar, but a waste of taxpayer dollars as well, writes Doug in Clearwater. Let's go to Arlene in Tampa for the next call. Hi, Arlene. You're on M&F. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. First of all, I want to thank you for bringing the Parnas segments that you've brought, and I highly agree with you and recommend that people listen to the whole interview. But to go back to the Elizabeth Warren Bernie thing, which I'd like to see buried, I think they both could be right. I think that people have to recognize how much women suffer from people saying things like that and how much it affects their ability to do what they could do. And so it really is like an open sore. And I think it would have been very easy that in a conversation at some point, maybe not even directly to Elizabeth, Bernie might have said, well, I think it'd be very difficult for a woman to be elected or something to that effect. And you kind of tweak them both a little bit and you've got where it stands now. And I'd like, as I say, just to see the press get off it and let's forget about the whole thing and move on with getting Trump defeated.
And Mary, as I look at the polls, I mean, there's more women alive in the U.S. than there are men, and women make up most of the voting population. Women also make up most of the people who are paid minimum wage in this country, so they have a big stake in what happens and who gets elected next year and what happens in the election this year. But my sense is, you know, going into campaigns, Republican campaigns, Democratic campaigns, women do all the work. They're the majority of voters. They have, I think, a lot at stake when it comes to wages and health care and war and peace issues. I mean, I just can't believe that women would sit on the sidelines, and if they care, they're going to come out and vote big this year, I would think.
I think so, and I think it's our job to make them aware that it's so important. And if they aren't aware, it's partly their own fault. But we have to get out the vote.
All right, Arlene, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. All right, and another email came in. We have 10 or 15 emails I haven't read. Bill says this, Moscow Mitch already said he's not going to be bipartisan. Why would any decent law-abiding citizen expect a fair trial from that guy? The Republicans will claim that Parnas is just a liar. That's a Bill in Dunedin. All right, Bill, thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones. This is 88.5 FM. Let's go to Liz in Tampa. Liz, thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts?
I just want to quickly say that I watched the entire interview with Parnas and Rachel Maddow last night, and I think he is a very credible witness if he ever gets to testify at a trial. But I just think that he was much more forthcoming than certainly Donald Trump ever is. And I know you're running out of time, but I just think that that was a really great interview and gave a lot of insight into the whole picture.
Yeah, and Rachel asked a lot of follow-ups, I think, that were helpful. I mean, she wasn't doing a complete, lawyerly interview, but it was pretty good. She asked the follow-up questions, and she didn't let him slip by with stuff, and I thought it was very informative. Now, when he gets in front of a congressional committee or, you know, some sort of legal proceeding. It'd be interesting to see if that, if he holds that story, if he can, if that's what he conveys. And if he does, and if the, his cell phone records and his hotel records add up, then I think it's pretty devastating.
And Rachel did have copies of notes, handwritten notes.
Right, right.
That, and she showed them to him, and he said, yes, that's when I was talking to Rudy Giuliani or somebody on the phone, and that's what I, you know. So he, so there's more substance to support his story than almost anybody else's.
All right, Liz, thanks a lot for the call. Thank you.
Okay.
Coming up in the next hour, Shelley Reback is going to have an important interview, an interview with a Holocaust survivor. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up in the next hour. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115 about this show, and I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for the latest news from NPR. Thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. I'm Rob Lori. This is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Here's the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh.